Now let us compose our mind, develop the spiritual faculties of Sada Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Relax body and mind, then turn to page 1 of our chanting book. Here chanda vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now your Chandipati Pa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena ditena tamadangsina tilokadipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyantang. Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siripada sarorohe jemi budang kusumena nena punena matena ca hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Yayo tata yati vinasa bhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojana parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja inspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear, pure water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and the affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Bhutang Pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, we will now make offering for the rest of the item that some devotee brought in lately. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have our meditation. We will off the light. Then after that, we will have half an hour of meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, yeah, you can proceed. Then for those who still need instruction, yeah, you just have to maybe remember that you need to either train your mind, yeah, so that it can develop the spiritual faculty to do away with the mental hindrance, so that you can enter the meditative state straight away, and your meditation will become a lot easier. But if you have not developed the spiritual faculty, then you have to do it while you are at home or while we are having our puja. The sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya is very important. If your spiritual faculty are still not stable and you have not trained, then you can do the mind sweeping method, to decondition your heedless thinking. Then you can combine it with metta or loving kindness. After you relax body and mind, silence everything, make sure your backbone is straight, then maintain attention at the forehead, then feel, don't think. You sweep from the forehead down. You can just feel. You can detect any tension, any tightness or any stress within. You just feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax, so that all this tension or stress can be removed, through your relaxation. As you relax into your forehead, all of your whatever muscle, or tightness or tension or stress, they will slowly dissipate, and become like very light, nothing inside there, very free. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle, eye muscle, do the same. Feel, relax, feel, relax. Each and every strand of your eye muscle, relax them. Then your facial muscle also do the same. Then in order to help you to relax further, you can radiate love and metta. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy, there is happiness. Your facial muscle will relax by itself, because when you are happy, it will relax. Then you can radiate the metta or loving kindness following what I radiate. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must learn to feel your entire body and mind experiencing this well-being and happiness within. Then you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it, feel that your entire being, body and mind, is free from suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then may there be love, may there be peace, may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you continue to radiate this love and metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones, my parents, my brothers, my sisters, my children, my spouse, my good neighbor, my good friends, and all those people whom I know, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful. May their mind states too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. then you can extend this love of metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of this house, all Kayana Mitas, all other devas, non-human, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be free from all harm and danger, free from all negativity of mental fear, worry, anxiety. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May its body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. Then continue to radiate. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can finally extend all this love and metta to all other beings. May all beings within the whole of SS2, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and the entire existence. May all beings within the entire existence, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all too be well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle and continue your mind sweeping method. Relax body and mind, feel your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then you move your attention down to your neck, shoulder, hand, relax, then back to shoulder, then relax and silence everything. Then you move your attention now to your heart area or your chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where your seat of consciousness arises and passes away. So you just silence everything and just feel, relax and feel. You can detect any vibration or even your heartbeat. You just silence everything and just stay with it. Then your mind will become very quiet. Anchor everything to the heartbeat or whatever vibration that you can feel. If you are new, not sensitive, it's okay. Like your mind sweeping method, instead of feeling your forehead, now you feel your heart area. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, do the same. Just feel and relax into all of the stomach muscle. Then you sweep it down further to your abdomen, silence everything and just feel. You can detect your rising and falling, stay there. Otherwise just relax, relax and relax. Feel the abdomen soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your leg, do the same, relax, feel and relax. Buttock, feel and relax. Now you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method from the buttock. Feel, relax, then the leg, feel, relax. Then you move your attention up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then your chest or heart area, feel, relax. Then you move your awareness or attention up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Your neck, feel, relax. Then sweep it out to your facial muscle. feel and relax each and every strand of your facial muscle. Then do the same for your eye muscle. Do the same for your forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Yeah. So now you need to stabilize your silent mind or your mindfulness that you have developed. Huh? To do this, you can use a skillful means. Huh? It can be any object of meditation that you are familiar with. If you don't have any, you can use anapanasati, mindfulness on the in and out breath. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just silent everything and just feel. Then breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then like the Buddha say, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Just maintain this attentiveness or attention in front of your nostril. Every time the mind wanders off, which you can expect if you are new, then just patiently bring it back. After a while, if you have the patience, this anapanasati will stabilize. Then you will feel very calm, very peaceful. Because when you are mindful of your in and out breath without any distraction by the thought or the thinking, your mind state will become very different. You will experience a very calm mind state, which the Buddha called piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture, or spiritual peacefulness, born of the mind, being quiet. Because it is just aware without thought. So continue to train. Maintain mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then as it build up, as the mindfulness build up, the PT build up, then breathing in, experiencing this mindfulness, this PT. Breathing out, experiencing this peacefulness, this calmness, this PT. So you continue to do with awareness until the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very stable. Initially, you will experience a lot of long breathing, very soothing and very calming type of mindfulness. Then as you relax into it, it becomes more and more refined. Then later, you can even experience blissfulness of mind called piti, leading to sukha. Then this sukha, which is the blissfulness of mind, will continue to become more and more refined, more and more subtle, until finally your mind becomes very quiet, very still, like no more movement. Then your breathing also becomes like very subtle. That is the silent mind, the meditative mind. That is the mind that you aim to train. Okay, I will let you develop it. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 or 15 minutes. you still want to meditate, you can continue for those of you now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deity comes here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Sata deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suvakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabhu Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi patipanno gavato savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atha purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can turn to page 6 of our we stop at page 6. The second paragraph, education. As a royal child, Prince Siddhartha must have received an education that became a prince, although no details are given about it. So this one, the author said, he must have been given a very good education that is be worthy of a prince. Then as a how to pronounce this word? Shiona. Shiona of a warrior race. He received special training in the art of warfare. So this is a brief history about how he go through his childhood life, then later into married life. At the age of 16, he was married. He married his beautiful cousin, Princess Yasodhara. Yasodhara. Who was of equal age. For nearly 13 years after his happy marriage, he led a luxurious life, blissful. I don't know why they use the word ignorant. ignorant of the vicissitude of life. Means the outside world, they kept it away from him. He is ignorant of the vicissitude of life outside the palace gate. Of his luxurious life as a prince, he states, I am delicate, excessively delicate. In my father's dwelling, 3 lotus ponds were made purposefully for me. Blue lotus bloom in one, red in another, and white in another. I used no sandalwood that was not of Kasi. You read the note 1, Kasi, a province in central India noted for silk. Modern Benares was its capital. My turban, tunic, dress and cloth were all from Kasi. Night and day, a white parasol was held over me so that I might not be touched by heat or cold, dust, leaves, or dew. So this is a typical good life of an emperor and, of course, the prince. So Sakyamuni Buddha, when he was young, his name was called Siddhartha. Gautama was the family name. Siddhartha Gautama. Then later on, because he is from the Sakyan family, when he became the Buddha, he is called the Muni or Sakya. So Sakya Muni. There were 3 palaces built for him. One for the cold season, one for the hot season, and one for the rainy season. During the 4 rainy months, I live in the palace of the rainy season without ever coming down from it, entertained all the while by female musicians. Just as in the house of others, food from the husk of rice, together with sour gruel, is given to the slave and workman. Even so, in my father's dwelling, food with rice and meat was given to the slave and workman. With the march of time, truth gradually dawned upon him. His contemplative nature and boundless compassion did not permit him to spend his time in mere enjoyment of the fleeting pleasure of the royal palace. Fleeting means not lasting. He knew no personal grief, but he felt a deep pity for suffering humanity. Amidst comfort and prosperity, he realized the universality of sorrow. This is according to the commentaries, the sutta. Then the next section is more interesting, talk about his renunciation. So last Tuesday, I think we have gone through this. So now we will read the actual recorded history. Yeah. Wow, Joyce is here. Come. Renunciation. Prince Siddhartha reflected thus, why do I, being subject to birth, decay, disease, death, sorrow, and impurities, thus search after things of like nature? How if I, who am subject to things of such nature, realize their disadvantage and seek after the unattained, unsurpassed, perfect security, which is Nibbana? Cramped and confined is household life, a den of dust, but the life of the homeless one is as the open air of heaven. Hard is it for him who abides at home to live out as it should be lived. The holy life in all its perfection, in all its purity. So this one, according to the recorded story of the life history of Siddhartha Gautama, he said he reflected on all this. What do you think? Based on your whatever understanding, what do you think? I think this was at the end. At that time, it may not be what he thought, because he was kept away from all the reality which is outside the palace, because the father was very worried that when he saw the four signs, he will renounce, go forth, and become a monk or become a renunciate. So here, it seems, according to the person who wrote this, he said he reflected on the thing that he saw, universality of sorrow, means suffering or misery. But I don't think so, because he have not seen a sick man, an old man, and a dead man. And even a holy man, I think, at that time. So never mind, it's not important. He could have or he may not. Anyway, we read on, we will understand. One glorious day, as he went out of the palace to the pleasure park to see the world outside, he came into direct contact with the stark reality of life. Within the narrow confines of the palace, he saw only the rosy side of life. But the dark side, the common lot of mankind, was purposely veiled from him. What was mentally conceived, he for the first time vividly saw in reality. On his way to the park, his observant eye met the strange sight of a decrepit old man, a sick man, a corpse, and a dignified hermit or samana. You look at the note 1. Seeing the four signs, I sat on horseback. That one is page 65, where he must have proclaimed. The first 3 signs convincingly provoked him. The inexorable nature of life and the universal ailment of humanity. The fourth signified the means to overcome the ills of life and to attain calm and peace. These 4 unexpected signs served to increase the urge in him to love and renounce the world. So that was how he saw the foresight. But I have read another version which was different. I think that one is more authentic. During the early day, I came across another version. He actually wanted to go out, but the father refused. Then one day he spoke to the attendant who looked after him, who cared for him. The attendant was so fearful of the king, because if you disobey the king, it can mean death. But because he loved the prince, Siddhartha Gautama, so much, he has actually attended to him since he was very young, taught him many things. So out of love, he took him out, smuggled him out of the palace one night. Then it was this attendant that explained to him the three signs that he first saw. Because if he go out and he see, he won't understand. So according to this commentary which I read somewhere in the early days of my cultivation, I tend to have more liking for that commentary, because that is more authentic. But he asked the attendant, how come this person is like that? Because he saw a very old, sick and haggard person. And this person is so old, so haggard, and like so fragile, so sick. Then the attendant say, this one is an old person, an elderly person. So the Bodhisattva at that time couldn't understand. He said, what do you mean by a very old person? But he cannot understand. Then the attendant said, one day, even you, Master, will also become like him if you live long enough. You will also grow old like him. Then the attendant said, me too, your father too, everybody also will grow old. Or then he straight away got a very strong like impact within him. Then he told himself, if that is the case, I have a situation, I have a problem. All this that I have received from my father, the last 29 years of good life, beautiful, very, very luxurious type of good life, has got no more meaning. The end of the day, he will still grow old. Then when he saw the second sign, he said, one day he also will get sick and become afflicted. Then he realized these are the things that he cannot overcome, because all this happiness, or what they call good life that he has received, has got no meaning. When ultimately he come to realize that he finally got to get sick, get old, and confront death. That's why that motivated him to renounce, to seek the answer to life problem, to overcome old age, sickness and death. So that version is more authentic. Then when he saw the very calm and very peaceful hermit, during that time, it's very popular to go for and seek the truth as a hermit or as a monk. Or they call it the samana. So that is just for information. Then we go on. Realizing the worthlessness of sensual desires so highly prized by the worldly people, and appreciating the value of a renunciate or renunciation in which the wise seek delight, the prince decided to leave the world in search for truth and eternal peace. Actually, he was searching for the answer to old age, sickness and death, like what we discussed last Tuesday. When this final decision was taken after much deliberation, the birth of sorry, the news of the birth of a newborn son was conveyed to him while he was about to leave the park. Contrary to expectation, he was not overjoyed, but regarded his first and only offspring as an impediment. An ordinary father would have welcomed the joyful tidings, but Prince Siddhartha, the extraordinary father as he was, exclaimed, "An impediment, Rahu," I think this must be a Pali word, "has been born, a fetus has arisen." The infant son was accordingly named Rahula by his grandfather. The palace was no longer a cogeno place to the contemplative Prince Siddhartha. Neither his charming young wife nor his loving infant son could deter him from altering the decision he had taken to renounce the world. He was destined to play an infinitely more important and beneficial role than a dutiful husband and father, or even as a king of kings. The allurements of the palace were no longer cherished objects of delight to him. Time was ripe for him to depart. So he ordered his favorite charioteer, Chana, to saddle the horse Kantaka and went to the suite of apartments occupied by the princess. Opening the door of the chamber, he stood on the threshold and cast his dispassion glance on the wife and child, who were fast asleep. Great was his compassion for the two dear ones at this parting moment. Greater was his compassion for suffering humanity. He was not worried about the future worldly happiness and comfort of the mother and child, as they had everything in abundance and were well protected and taken care of. It was not that he loved them the less, but he loved humanity more. Leaving all behind, he stole away with a light heart from the palace at midnight, and he rode into the dark, attended only by his loyal charioteer. Alone and penniless, he set out in search for truth and peace. Thus did he renounce the world. It was not the renunciation of an old man who has had his fill of worldly life. It was not the renunciation of a poor man who had nothing to leave behind. It was the renunciation of a prince in the full bloom of youth and in the plenitude of wealth and prosperity, a renunciation unparalleled in history. It was his 29th year that Prince Siddhartha made this historic journey. He journeyed far and, crossing the river Anoma, rested on its bank. Here he shaved his hair and beard, and handing over his garment and ornament to Chana, with instruction to return to the palace, assumed the simple yellow garb of an ascetic and led a life of voluntary poverty. The ascetic Siddhartha, who once lived in the lap of luxury, now became a penniless wanderer, living on what little the charitably minded gave of their own accord. He had no permanent abode. A shady tree or a lovely cave sheltered him day by day or night. Barefooted and bareheaded, he walked in the scorching sun and in piercing cold, with no possession to call his own, but a bowl to collect his food and ropes just sufficient to cover the body. He concentrated all his energy on the quest for truth, So this was the part related to his renunciation. Yeah? Do you have anything to add, or yeah, you want to discuss about this part? Yeah, this is a very controversial part. I remember during the early day, yeah, a lot of Buddhists also question. No? Have you all heard of this question? A lot of Buddhists also question, how can he just left the wife and the son like that, yeah, and just walk away? What do you think? A lot of people commented that this is very cruel. Huh? Lady, what do you think? Huh? If you have your firstborn child and your husband just walk away from you. Huh? What do you think? Huh? We should discuss this. Otherwise people ask you, how? How are you going to reply? Huh? What is your understanding? How can this thing happen? Huh? Do you agree with what people think? Or you try to take side. Come, somebody try. Yeah? We should. Ah, yes, pass to Mimi the mic. Yeah, very good.
Testing 1, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, from the mundane side, I think a lot of people find that Sitata is very heartless, leave the wife, the child. I think for his nature is very different. He is the Buddha to be. Though he is still in the mundane form, I think his perfection and his wow,
yeah,
that actually make the kind of choices, because he take this birth is to liberate sentient beings.
Mm.
So I think he definitely has this perfection in him before he take this birth.
Yeah.
So
that's why he's a unique being. Right?
Yeah.
He's not an ordinary being. That's why you cannot judge people by what you see. Then you use your thought process, your views and your opinion, and you will say, how can this man be so cruel? Just walk out the wife and the son, the newborn son. Didn't even leave any message or whatever. Yeah, good. Anything else?
That's why whenever we see how another person cultivate, we cannot use our views and opinion to form why she's doing this way, why he's doing
that.
So I think,
because you cannot benchmark based on your condition and your views and your limited views and condition. Yeah? Very good.
So this is what
Sadhu.
I think.
Sadhu. Anybody else want to try? You should make it a discussion topic. Well, this book is meant for discussion. You can say whatever you believe or strongly felt. Well, different people have different understanding. Anybody else? Yeah? Try, come. Who else want to try? Where is our good friend? Nobody. What do you think? Eh? Is it normal? Mimi has brought out a very good point. Eh? Because of Sakyamuni Buddha's parami, because of what he has developed through his perfection and cultivation. So he has a reason to do all this. So when you talk about how can he be so cruel, means what? Yeah? When you don't understand him, to you, you think it's very cruel to do that. But I want to know, how does lady feel? Yeah? How do you feel? When you have a situation, let's say somebody walk out of your life, sometimes after you have a few child already, then only they walk out of your life. To me, you have to look at it this way. Why did the person walk out of your life? Do you understand? Yeah? Can you see the deep meaning there? Yeah? The more important thing is why the husband walk out. If he walk out because of selfishness, lust, greed and other things, then of course there is coming. And that is not a very, very good way to do things. Because all this has its karmic repercussion. But if that being walk out because there is this inner, very deep past cultivation and understanding, and as a bodhisattva at that time, my nature understand why he walk out. He walked out because he knew he has a greater task. Yeah. Of course, the text say he loves humanity more and all those things. That could be one of the reasons. But the more important reason is the timing has come. And this foresight impact upon him very strongly, very, very strongly. And he can make that decision out of understanding, and he renounced the world to make this decision to act this way is because of this inner deep what they call inner calling from the nature, and this nature know, and is very sincere. It is really seeking truth, seeking answer to what he need to understand. Old age, sickness and death. Then when he understand, he can help the world to have that understanding. That's why he has a mission. And he is such a unique being. That's why this thing can happen. Then when it happened, it has got nothing to do with cruelty or what, because the intention is so sincere, so pure, and the conditions are all there for it to happen. So do you understand the part? Yeah? This is what I want you to understand, so that when people ask you, you can explain to them, so that you won't become like very useless at even trying to explain why did the Buddha did this. It's not why he did this, it's how he did it. He did it with background understanding, those conditions behind. That's why it depends on the reason why that person do that thing. If the reason behind is full of evil root, delusion, then whatever you do, it has its own karmic repercussion, and it is not the one that is appropriate for living life. But if he do through sincerity, through understanding, through the unique condition that arise, then it is a very noble action, understand? Of course, you can use your mundane mind, mundane thinking, to maybe justify that the wife will suffer, the wife will grieve. Then what happened to the child? When it's born without a father, all these things, all these thoughts can come in, but it doesn't have its purpose and meaning, because even Yosohara, the wife, the son, they have affinity with Sakyamuni. They also have their cultivation and their parami. That's why they are not ordinary beings. Then later on in the life of the Buddha, when the king managed to invite Sakyamuni Buddha back to the palace, you will see the part where Yosohara, the wife, you know what she did or not? She talked to the son. You go to your father and ask for your inheritance. Oh, She didn't get angry and question the Buddha, why did you leave me? At that time, no. He just tell the son, he say, go to your father. He is your father. You go and request for your inheritance. See? It's very different because the parami of this being that has affinity with Sakyamuni Buddha, they have their past too. They also understand. That's why Rahula also renounced and became a monk, follow the father. Then at that time he was so young. So the Buddha's father, who is the king, you remember? When Rahula want to renounce, the king was very, very angry, very upset. He said, you alone renounce and now you want to take away even my grandson. You understand the reason why the king is so angry. Then Sakyamuni, because of that, he added the rule, the monk's rule. He said, nobody can ordain under the order of the Buddha if you don't have your father's consent, your parents' consent, if you are below the age of the know what, I forgot already. So that was the statement that he issued. And he explained to the father, he said, it's not that I want him to renounce or I want to take him away. It's he himself who wants to follow me, he said. So because of what happened, you will come to understand that these are not ordinary worldly people who can, because of certain thing or issue, become afflicted, miserable, suffer, and all those things. So it's very different. Okay? Anybody else want to add anything? Anybody? Yes, raise your hand. Nobody? Okay, then we go on. Huirong, right? Pass the mic to Huirong. Very good. Huirong.
我想问一个问题，其实是
啊，可以啊。
我以前想过这个问题，或许我是用我的盲点脉在想，所以。我的问题是，如果当初悉达多王子没有 renunciation， 他还是在他原来的位置，他就不能 enlightenment 了吗？
Okay, very good question.
等一下，我讲完。
还有啊，讲完先。好，哇，好，这个好。
因为就我的理解，
yes.
其实。很多因缘和合其实都
已经 在
那边了，可是
对
如果他没有 renounce 的话
，yes，
其实可能最后结果
是可以
这样的，
也是可以成
果。所以我会认为说，所以我很好奇，如果说
okay.
而且像 Brother Dio，
yeah.
你也没有那
样。我也没有 walk out 啊
对，对，可是还是有， yeah. 你还是有达到你的。
对 ，That's why I want to explain this afterwards. This is a very important point.
所以我会认为说， yeah. 因为你要搞清楚是你的 attachment 还是，所以我不明白那是他的 attachment 还是什么。
你看。Attachment is like you say 那个 Monday mind 想出来的 but actually 不是 attachment 那等下我会 explain I will explain it、yeah? Thank you so much off it、yeah. 还有声音哦没有压到下面啊压下面啊哦是我的因为我转这个
Yeah, sorry, yeah. How many of you don't understand Mandarin?
Everybody understand. So I know you translate. Oh, Yun Chan need translation. Okay. So Hui Rong asked a very good question. He said she was curious. That's why she had this question during the early day. He said, what happened if Siddhartha Gautama decide not to renounce, not to walk out? Can he still become the Buddha? What do you think? Yeah? Why laugh? It's a very good question, isn't it? And I say, yes, he has still become a Buddha. Sammasambuddha. But there is a very, very strong reason why he has to go that way. In fact, two reasons. Two very fundamental reasons. If you go this way, you will understand. He actually can become Sammasambuddha in whatever manner or order. But because of the condition, many conditions, he must go for. And he must wait till 6 years later, after he renounced. Then only he can become Sammasambuddha. 你还记得吗? 我讲, why he takes 6 years? Why some of the disciples very fast? 1 week, 2 weeks, arahant, straight away. One of the reasons is Sujata. Remember Sujata? What did Sujata offer to him? The milk rice. Because she made that vow, no? Understand? No? To offer to a potential Sammasambuddha just before his enlightenment, Sammasambuddhahood. That's why that one has to be fulfilled. Then the other one is the two teachers, Alara and Udaka. These two, their belief is the formless rhyme is their highest, their salvation. So they must die before Sakyamuni become Sammasambuddha. If he becomes Sammasambuddha, their vow that is very strong, which they make aspiration, and they have this very strong belief that that is their ultimate goal that they want to realize, will not be fulfilled. Yeah. But because they make the vow so strongly, that's why it has to wait till they pass away before Sakyamuni Buddha can actually realize Sammasambuddha. The third reason is because Sakyamuni's lineage, his cultivation follow certain lineage. This one was told to me by my second last teacher, because she is also from the same lineage. So this lineage, they have to renounce the world. They have to set up the Sangha. Understand? That's why that lineage is different. That's why he has to go for. You understand? If he don't go for, he can still become a Sammasambuddha, because enlightenment can be realized because the parami already there. He actually already had the understanding everything. The moment he decide to go for, he don't have to even shave the hair or what. He will awaken one. He will understand one. No matter what he do, the parami, the condition will fall into place. But because of his unique lineage, he has to go that way. And he has to set up the order of the monks, the Sangha. But that is his lineage. That's why my second last teacher, he knew I won't follow her on. He asked another one that supposed to follow her. Then he said, they are that lineage that carry that banner of cultivation and the setting up of the order. So they hold on to that lineage and that what they call that type of practices. Yeah. That's the reason why you see later on, even after Sakyamuni Buddha, all those teaching that they pass down is through the patriarch. And it's all through the lineage of monks, understand? And they set up that lineage because his training is under that type of lineage. And he believed that is the fastest way and the best way to impact upon humanity, to have the sasana, to have the order of monk that are according to the what they call vichana, salutation to the sangha. The sangha has this unique quality and all those things. That's the reason why he wanted that lineage, and he wanted to set all this up. And this lineage will continue. Then all of his close disciples who follow him, it depends on your bodhisattva way, how you move. That's why I shared with you all early on the bodhisattva way. The four basic vows and the three set of pure precepts is minimum basic for you to go that way. Then you make that firm affirmation to plant the seed of Bodhi, to walk that way. And that is the first stage of Bodhi mind development. Then after that, you will add in your additional vow, your miscellaneous vow, according to your understanding, according to your evolution, your cultivation and all things, and your perfection. Then also of your affinity. Then there are a lot of other people's vow which can also play a part in asana. It's just like Yasodhara, the wife. You know, they already have a lot of what they call affinity together. And they already have that type of vow, because Yasodhara must have vow to be the wife of the Buddha when he takes birth as a bodhisattva. So all this, because of the very, very unique condition and the very powerful vow that they make, because out of the billions and billions and billions of living beings that vow, only one can become his wife. Understand? You can follow. So it's not easy. It doesn't mean you vow you can become his wife. So these are the conditions that arise. And because of that lineage thing, he need to go for. Then the question about attachment, Mia Hui Rong say, could it be because of attachment that people won't go for? That was the question. What happened if Sakyamuni stay back? Because of, maybe you can say, because of love and compassion. But definitely it's not attachment, because this type of being don't have attachment anymore. They understand everything very clearly. Even before his enlightenment, he will also not attach on, not cling on, because their mind is very strange one. Because even at my level of cultivation, when I was young, this mind think differently on. It cannot be worried about anything. It don't have any like fear or what happened if I die and all. No such thing. No such thing. Very funny. This nature like inside already have that thing. Then I told you all about the incident when I was very young. My consciousness came out. There is no fear, nothing. Nothing. Just like that. The only moment it got fear is when the consciousness was out, then it realized the body was down there. Then that consciousness tried to go in. Then it realized it cannot go in. It cannot go in. But the fear is not because I cannot go in or what, or because if I cannot go in, I cannot continue to. No. The fear is the consciousness that was outside cannot go in, so it cannot understand. How come like that? So at that moment, it have to have that adrenaline to move that form and mind. And because of that thing, which I call it fear, but it's not the real fear, like fear of death or fear of not able to come back to the body. No such thing. It just find it strange that how come it cannot go in and take over the body. Understand? Then that created a movement. I remember it created a movement. Then it just went in. It went in. Just like that, went in. Of course, no sound. at that time. The consciousness, just that moment, went in. Then at that time, I was so young. And I can saw the craving force, how it dissipates. Then how the true mind, consciousness, go back to cessation. Then how the random of consciousness come out. All these things. And no one taught me anything. That time I don't know the Dhamma. I don't even know what sati is. I don't even know I don't even know how to meditate. Then how come at the point of death, the awareness automatically come, and the awareness can see how the craving force. You know what is craving force? Huh? How many of you don't know what is craving force? Huh? No need to explain. Everybody know. You know what is that craving force that bind your consciousness to this body or not? Your consciousness cannot come out because of that craving force. There is a force that holds you to this body, do you know or not? Karmic force, which is born of delusion, craving. That craving, karmic force, is very strong. It holds you to this body. And because your consciousness is trapped inside, that's why karma can take effect. You understand? Yeah? Otherwise, karma cannot take effect. Understand? Karma can take effect because your consciousness is trapped inside this physical form. And whatever this physical form experience, the consciousness experience, that's why this is called karmic vipaka and other things. And there's a craving force that binds you inside this thing. And not until this craving force dissipates, your consciousness cannot come out. Your consciousness cannot come out. Those who say their mind come out is the astral mind. You understand? Not the whole consciousness come out. It's one part of the mind. They call it the astral mind. You know what is astral mind? A-S-T-R-A-L. Not the astral you see in the TV. That one is A-S-T-R-O. This one is A-S-T-R-A. I write it down. You're familiar with this word or not? Huh? Astral. Huh? Some they call it the astral mind, some they call it the astral body. Heard of this word? Ah, some of you might have heard. Huh? Then there's another one they call etheric body. You heard of this? This etheric body is actually your feeling body, your outer layer consciousness. When you meditate until you become very quiet, very silent, very still, you can expand on this energy. How many of you have felt that before? That there is an energy that can expand on. That is the etheric body. When you are very quiet until very still, and then this one, you can feel one, there is an energy. According to Tantra, that was what my last guide told me. I don't know. I'm not interested in all those things. He said there are seven bodies inside a human being or a living being. You heard of the seven bodies? Maybe I just go through quickly. You see, after this etheric body, you have your mind. Your mind got the lower mind or the mundane mind. Lower or mundane mind. Then you have the higher mind. Or supramundane mind. Then you got one more. After this, you have one more. They call it, I don't know how to spell. He told me it's Antakarana, something like that. How many of you know the Hindu teaching or the Tantra teaching? He used the English word, he called it personality. The Pali word is, I don't know how to spell also. Something like that, Antakarana. So this one, the personality, they also call it persona. And according to him, this is the very important one. This one, the personality or persona, which is your ego, a lot of people use this. Yeah. This one can go in and out of all the layer of mind. Yeah. It can even go back to the true mind. Yeah. But this one, the ego or the personality is actually a self-delusion. But he called it the higher self. The true self, he called it. Yeah. That's why a lot of this teaching is around. But you forget about all this. Because when you are the awareness, it's not a personality, understand? There is no being inside there. It's just the awareness. The awareness can go in and out. Understand? It can go in until very deep. The subconscious and the unconscious until the true nature. That's why the awareness can touch that thing. Wow, very good, huh, Joyce? You automatic, the machine will help you. Excuse me, can you repeat that? Oh, wow, very good, huh? That's why he wants to listen again. The machine also has consciousness. Your handphone wants to understand. So this part, don't have to understand. You know that there is a awareness that can go in and out. It can go in all the way and it can go out all the way. Yeah. Then there is also another small part of the subconscious mind which become the astral body. And this one can, they say can go out and go around, travel around. Can go astral traveling. This astral mind can go astral traveling. You want to have free overseas trip. You go and do this. Astral traveling. This one, those who do jhana, they can have this activated. And I was told by one of the Dharma friend who started meditation also at my time on. The lady that I told you last time, she very scared of meditation. She used to help out in the Brickfield Temple, cook for Sunday school children and all those things. She do a lot of dana. Then one day, because of certain condition, he also met my second last teacher, Achanyantra. And I think their family donated that piece of land. Asahan land to Reverend Mahinda later. And I think Achanyantra also did a few rains retreat at her durian plantation at that time, Asahan. So what happened was, she seldom meditate. And one day she tried, because somebody told her, you must go, and she went. She went to a typical vipassana on the Burmese one. She said, morning check-in, afternoon check-out. Yeah, he said, don't know what is going on. Like a zombie, she nearly fainted and collapsed inside there. Where you cannot do the slow, nothing on. Standing. She cannot. Then after that, she dare not meditate. Then one day, because of the house, Katina, after I hold it, then she also requested from Achanyantra. Then Achanyantra finally, because of special condition, agreed. Then she was full of faith and joy. Then she held the container. House Dana. Then after everything over, she was so tired. You know. Then she came and talked to me. Super duper, is it? Can you explain to me why Ajahn Yantra suddenly asked me to meditate? He said, I said, good news, means your time has come. You know what? My teacher, Thai monk, Ajahn Yantra, told her. No? He said, Nancy, you have enough parami already. You should start meditating. After she told me that, I said, that's good news. Go and meditate. He said, I don't know how to meditate. That's how I came to know. He said, I walk in, check in morning, afternoon, check out. I said, not that type of meditation. You follow what he instructs you. So Ajahn Yantra always start with mind sweeping method and, of course, Anapanasati. He is very good at Anapanasati. So I said, you just go and do Anapanasati. She said, what is Anapanasati? I said, just mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just focus on the breath, then relax and maintain mindfulness. I think she don't understand what is mindfulness. She just heard the word note around the nostril area. So I used the word, you just focus around the nostril area, then try to detect your in and out breath. You know what happened to her? No? That night, she go and do the meditation. She went in, straight away, she hit the 8 jhanas. No? All the 8 jhanas she finished, no? Not knowing that they are the jhanas. No? Then after that, her mind transformed, no? And become very different. No? Then off and on, we got tetari and all this thing. And then she used to ask me, he called me in Hokkien, my name, my surname. He said, Atio, lie. Every time he talked to me, he said, you know what happened or not? Then he told me, he said, there was one night when she meditated. Actually, the father was taking a flight to China. Before that, she used to tell me her astral mind came out. And she visited many people's house and places. Then she told me, he said, do you know your house got what or not? I said, I don't know. He said, your house, a lot of deva, he said. Then later on he told me, the astral mind can just zoom anywhere it wants to go, it will be there. When he knew his father was traveling to China on the plane, the astral mind actually went to the aeroplane. He saw the father sleeping there. In the plane. That's why I say, no need money, you can travel around. So this is the short story that I just want to share about the astral mind, because there is condition for it to arise. How did I come to the astral mind? No, before that. How did I end up here? No. Before that. How did I talk about the mind and all those things? We were discussing Hui Rong's question here. About why, what happened if Sakyamuni didn't renounce Ken? Oh, yeah, Sadhu. Thank you, Yunjan. And now I know, Yunjan. Luckily, Yunjan remember how my consciousness came out. Understand? No? And my that one, the whole consciousness came out, no? The random consciousness. It's not the astral mind alone came out. No? I actually died. You know? Do you know that? There is a silver cord that is connected one. Actually, that one also gone. I technically cannot come back to this body already. But because of the vow and the past cultivation, that's like you know what to do. No? You just and go in again. Yeah. That's why I say, different cultivator with different understanding and different perfection and different condition from the past. When you come, you will know. That's why I tell you all, at my level, I already can understand why Sakyamuni need to renounce and all those things. Why he need to go that way. Because if you take this way, you will know each and every one is different. My way is different. I like to come as a lay form now. In the past, it used to come in the rope. My second class teacher can see, and he told me, you many, many lives, all in the Mahayana type of rope one. Even Han also, I think, saw. Where is Han? Han is around. You ask her later on whether she want to tell you. At Wu Ping Jing Se, there was one day they were chanting the, is it the 88 Buddha? Amitabha. Amitabha. Then we were all like walking in a line, chanting. Then she saw, because she do jhana too, she can see. So a lot of these things, if you are not in this spiritual field, you may not understand. Then you may think it's like fairy tale. Fairy tale. Even Adeline's husband, Garrett, his mind came out before. He told me the astral mind came out before. I don't know if he told you or not. He can see the planet and all those things. He told you. That time. That time. Astral traveling. The mind can go and see the planet. Mars and all those things. You think very interesting. You also want to do. You be careful. You play with energy field. But don't worry. If it comes as a byproduct, you can. No harm. But don't get yourself deceived. Don't go and believe that all this can make you powerful and whatever. We are there are still consciousness. Mind make are they? No reality. They also have the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. So all this is related to the form of mind, to the understanding of the Dhamma. So if you can understand, you will understand. But if you don't have the understanding, chances is you will get attached, you will cling, you will deviate. And through this deviation, people get into trouble for nothing. Anyway, don't worry. If your mind is sincere, you have the faith, then things will unfold. But when you have greed, then you have to check. You have to be more careful. Okay. That's it. Finish. Story end. Anybody else want to add anything or share anything? We should thank Hui Rong for the good question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Dio, 其实为什么我会问那个问题，是因为我听过很多的 story， 他们之所以偶电的理由就是他们会拿布达的例子来说，所以他们也要这样。可是我觉得不一定要那样。
呀、yeah, ，不一定要那样的。不一定要那样的。
所以你会看到有很多人因为他们的偶电而 suffer。
对，
那只能说可能因缘和合是这样子。
因缘和合是这样子，因为一切是因缘法嘛。Everything is just。
但是很多人到头来是
呀，
打、yeah. 不能说打回原形，就是是。其实他是绕一圈，
呀、yeah, ，绕一圈，
这样，
对对对，绕一圈，go one round， 绕一圈 ，go one round，a lot of people has been going many round，not only one round，lost in samsara for eons and eons and eons，because when you touch psychic，when you touch energy field，you can really get lost for very very long，especially you take birth in the formless realm。You know how long the lifespan is up there, no? The highest one, the 8 jhana one, the realm of neither perception or non-perception. 84,000 aeons you live up there. Long or not? One aeon, you know how long or not? One world cycle, no? One universe, birth, from birth to what they call the growth phase, then the decaying phase, then the cessation phase. It's complete cycle, birth and death. You know how long it takes, huh? It's many, 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 many billions and billions and billions of years. It's very, very long. Our universe at the moment is only, the furthest that the scientists can see is about 16 billion light years. Light years. You know what is light years or not? Yeah? You travel at the speed of light, yeah? You have to travel for 16 billion years at the speed of light. You know? Then only you reach the boundary of the universe where scientists can see with their Hubble telescope. But the boundary doesn't end there. May still have. And for this world system to collapse and come back again, there is one world cycle. And in the sutta, there is an analogy. How many of you heard of this analogy? I think some of the early year ones, Yun Chan, they all should know. According to Reverend Suwano, I have to quote him because he was the one that told the story. He said, according to the Tipitaka, the Theravada Sutta, he said, one world cycle is, you imagine you got a rock which is 7 miles high, you know, 7 miles wide and 7 miles long, like a square rock. You know how high that rock is or not? 7 miles high. 1 mile is 5,000 over feet, 5,280. 7 is, well, like Mount Everest. It's a square Mount Everest. And he said, you are given a silk cloth. You can only clean that mountain once every 100 years. You have to use that silk cloth to clean until that mountain is gone. That is how long an aeon is. You can imagine how long. Even one tile, I ask you to clean every 100 years, clean once. You know how long it takes to clean off this tile. But you are talking about that mountain. That's why it's very, very, very long. So like Hui Rong say, everything is just yin yan he he. How to translate? To English. He he. The condition arising is yin yan. He he. Is what? What is the meaning of he he? No, he he is, I thought, matching, isn't it? Yeah la, you cannot separate them. No. Yin yan he he means, you have to understand, no, these are all, like you say, 一切为心造, the mind is the forerunner of all things. Then, 一切与为法, means within the condition. But this yin yan he he is different now. It's slightly different. Because it has to have that matching condition, understand? Where everything is just although condition arising, but everyone is different, you understand? And because of you exist, your existence exists since the distant power until now, the segmented life, the world or the universe is what it is today. You understand? Without you, the universe will not be what it is today. Do you understand? Even though you are not significant, you are just a speck in this countless living being universe. But your existence, because it has existed for so long, even though very small, it has an impact on this universe. Do you understand? That's why, without you, the universe is not what it is today. Without the universe, you are not what you are today. There's a yin yan, he he. Everything is just the way it is, following dependent origination, condition arising, causal phenomenon. But that topic is very, very deep. That's why the Buddha said karma, which is only a very, I wouldn't say it's a small part. It's an aspect of yin yang fa, understand? Law of karma is moral causation that involves the mind, the mental intention. The law of cause and effect that involves the mental intention. That's why I call it the moral causation. And that is a very big aspect of cause and effect. Yeah. Where that one is the one that is involving the living beings. Whereas the other aspect of cause and effect is scientific one, understand? Physical order, biological order, and all the other type of physical, scientific cause and effect, like Newton's law and all those things. So all this has behind, has the main one behind, which is the law of karma, the moral causation. And that one is very, very deep, very difficult to really develop the understanding. That's why you have to go through the Bodhisattva way to finish it, or towards the very end, then only you can have the understanding. That's why the third basic vow is to realize and penetrate all Dharma, perfection of wisdom. If you cannot finish that, you cannot understand this yin yang he he thing. Understand? This law of karma is very complicated. And the yin yang he he is beyond the law of karma. Understand? It involves everything in this existence and universe. Yeah. And it will somehow accord on. No? It has to be that way on, and no other way on. But the understanding of it is really immense, very immense. Because all the conditions at any one time, the whole universe now, the whole existential world, it's not about our planet Earth beings and all those things. That's why it's something that is way beyond the human mind. Unless you have this perfection of wisdom, the omniscient nature of the great beings, you cannot come to understand all this. Yeah. So all this has its beauty, uniqueness. That's why Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, after he realized all this, he knew true emptiness is wonderful existence. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. Really, it's very wonderful. Everything becomes so wonderful, so beautiful, so meaningful. Yeah. Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Hui Rong, for the good condition, the question and all those things. Okay, now we can move on. We got another 15 minutes. Yeah. Page 13. So before long, he realized by his own intuitive wisdom that doctrine and attained to that state. But it brought him no realization of the highest truth. Before that, the search, I haven't started the search, page 12. I went too fast, sorry. Yeah? Page 12. The search. Thus, as a wanderer, a seeker after what is good, searching for the unsurpassed peace, he approached Alara Kalama, a distinguished ascetic, and said, I desire, friend Kalama, to lead the holy life in this dispensation of yours. Thereupon Alara Kalama told him, you may study with me, O Venerable One. Of such sort is this teaching, that an intelligent man before long may realize by his own intuitive wisdom his master's doctrine and abide in the attainment thereof. Before long he learned his doctrine, but it brought him no realization of the highest truth. That's why he did all the jhana that this Alara taught him, and yet he knew he is not enlightened. Yet what he seeks is not peace. What he seeks is sickness and death. He wants to understand that and go beyond. Then there came to him the thought, when Alara Kalama declared, having myself realized by intuitive doctrine, knowledge, the doctrine, I abide in the attainment thereof. It could not have been a mere profession of faith. Surely Alara lives having understood and perceived this doctrine. So he went to him and said, how far, friend Kalama, does this doctrine extend, which you yourself had the intuitive wisdom realize and attain? Upon this, Alara Kalama make known to him the rhyme of nothingness. In Pali, it's called Akinchana Yatana, an advanced stage of Samatha, concentration. So this one is called the rhyme of nothingness. Like the mind is so quiet, so still, there is nothing up there. Then it occurred to him, not only in Alara Kalama are to be found faith, energy, mindfulness, samadhi, and wisdom. I too possess this virtue. How now if I strive to realize that doctrine whereof Alara Kalama said that he himself has attained and abide in the attainment thereof? So before long, he realized by his own intuitive wisdom and doctrine and attained to that state, and it brought him no realization of the highest truth. Then he approached Alara Kalama and said, is this the full extent, friend Kalama, of this doctrine, of which you said that you yourself had realized by your wisdom and abide in the attainment thereof? But I also, friend, had realized thus far in this doctrine and abide in the attainment thereof. The unenvious teacher was delighted to hear of the success of his distinguished pupil or disciple. He honored him by placing him on the perfect level with him and admiringly said, happy friend, are we extremely happy in that we look upon such a venerable fellow ascetic like you. That same doctrine which I myself have realized by my wisdom and proclaimed, having attained thereto, have you yourself realized by your own wisdom and by in the attainment thereof? And that doctrine you yourself have realized by your wisdom and by in the attainment thereof, that have I myself realized by my wisdom and proclaimed, having attained thereunto. That's the doctrine which I know, and also do you know, and the doctrine which you know, and that I know also. As I am, so are you. As you are, so am I. Come, friend, let us both lead the community or company of ascetic. The ascetic Gotama was not satisfied with the discipline and a doctrine which only lead to a higher degree of mental concentration, but it did not lead to disgust, detachment, cessation of suffering, tranquility, intuition, enlightenment and nibbana. Nor was he anxious to lead a company of ascetic, even with the cooperation of another generous teacher of equal spiritual attainment, without first perfecting himself. It was, he felt, a case of blind leading the blind. Dissatisfied with his teacher, he politely took his leave from him. In those happy days, when there were no political disturbance, the intellect of India were preoccupied with the study and exposition of some religious system or others. All facilities were provided for those more spiritually inclined to lead holy life in solitude in accordance with their temperament, and most of these teachers had large followings of disciples. So it was not difficult for the ascetic Gotama to find another religious teacher who are more competent than the former. On this occasion, he approached one Udaka Ramaputta and expressed his desire to lead the holy life in his dispensation. He was readily admitted as a pupil. I think we stop here, because this one is quite long. So what happened was, after he met this last teacher, Udaka Ramaputra, he actually learned from him and he developed the highest of the formless jhana. He realized the eighth jhana, the fourth highest formless jhana. and they call it the realm of neither perception nor non-perception. The mind is so still and so fine until like you neither perceive or you non-perceive. Well, that mind state is so still. That's why up there, when you take rebirth there, after that, you do the Tayo Jhana, you will live for 84,000 eons. You live very long. But I don't know how, because you don't have a physical body, you only have the consciousness. And the consciousness is the Arupa consciousness. It's so still. It's like, to them who develop it, they thought, this is it. This is ultimate. This is the highest. But when Sakyamuni went through this, he realized he still has his problem. Yeah, he was searching and for an answer to what? Yeah? The first three signs he saw is that old age, sickness, and death is there. That's why he knew this is not what he was searching for. But the book say he knew there is a cessation state that called Nibbana. I don't know. I don't think he know until he connect and he realize it. What the other teacher, this Alarai Udaka, told him about their achievement and attainment is, like he say, it's a more refined type of concentration of mind. And to him, he is not searching for peace, calmness, and refinement of mind state. He is searching for wisdom, for understanding, to liberate the mind, to go beyond old age, sickness, and death. That's why when he decided to leave them and continue with his meditation, then he decided to revert back to food. The five ascetics also left him, where they thought he no more serious. Because the other two teachers, they teach a lot of austere practices. You know what is austere practices, huh? Very, very strict and very, what they call, rigid type of practices. Very austere, very austere. So, when he finally, underneath the Bodhi tree, when all the conditions fulfilled, then he awakened. Then he came to understand clearly where he recalled all the past life, everything, the dependent origination, the paticca-samuppada. He saw how the mind functioned and all this mind state. Then he realized the impermanence, suffering state, non-self, the Four Noble Truths, the three turning. Then when he awakened, he realized this form of mind is not him. That's why his problem solved. Understand? Yeah? This body and mind, the form of mind, the five aggregate of form of mind, the so-called living being, is not real, it's impermanent. If you deludedly grasp and cling, self-delusion, it will lead to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I. That's how his mind liberates. Then when he realized Nibbana, the cessation of all, he realized there is no more rebirth. There is no more continuation of this form of mind. It can just cease. And he don't have to continue the Bodhisattva way because he has perfected them all. Understand? And the nature, the Buddha nature is still there. If he choose to come back, but not as a Sammasambuddha, he can come back with another form of mind. That's why there is no contradiction, because in the sutta it's mentioned, this is my last birth, you remember? He said, house builder, I have seen you, you shall build no more house. For thereafter, and Rishpo has been shattered. Nothing wrong with that statement. That statement just tell you that this form of mind, no more rebirth, understand? Do you understand? That's why it's his last birth. But that nature, like the Bodhisattva, through their vow, they can come with a pure mind. They don't have to have a deluded form of mind with avijja to take rebirth. They can come with a pure mind. Because their karmic nature is still there, the spiritual nature is still there. But when he come, he will not become a Sammasambuddha as predicted in the past. Yeah, that one can happen only once. But they can still come with another form of mind. That's why he said you take refuge with the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. And Sakyamuni Buddha's nature, the Buddha nature, is still around. That's why you can take refuge. And his teaching is very, very unique and powerful, because when you take refuge with the Triple Gem, you not only take with one Buddha, one Sammasambuddha, you take with all the Sammasambuddha of the three period of time. That's why it's a very complete refuge. Okay, we end. Yeah? Do you have any question? Can rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Anybody has any question? We still got 5 minutes. No question, then we end. You got any question, you can write down. Next Tuesday, we can discuss it. Maybe some of you can read ahead, then prepare some question. Then we should have more people participating in the discussion. Okay, now we recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours plus. We will now share all these merits with all the beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu lokasasana. Itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. There we end.